Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the second Sunday of Easter or Divine Mercy Sunday. A Time magazine issue in 1984 presented a startling cover. It pictured a prison cell where two men sat on metal folding chairs. The younger man wore a black turtleneck sweater, blue jeans and white running shoes. The older man was dressed in a white robe and had a white skull cap on his head. They sat facing one another, up close and personal. They spoke quietly so as to keep others from hearing the conversation. The young man was Muhammad Ali Agca, the Pope's attempted assassin, who shot the Pope on the 13th of May 1981. The other man was Pope John Paul II, the intended victim. The Pope held the hand that had held the gun whose bullet tore into the Pope's body. This was a living icon of mercy. John Paul's forgiveness was deeply Christian. His deed with Ali Agca spoke a thousand words. He embraced his enemy and pardoned him. At the end of the 20-minute meeting, Ali Agca raised the Pope's hand to his forehead as a sign of respect. John Paul took Ali Agca's hand tenderly. When the Pope left the cell, he said, "What we talked must remain a secret between us. I spoke to him as a brother whom I have pardoned and who has my complete trust." This is an example of God's divine mercy, the same divine mercy whose message St. Faustina witnessed. The readings for this Sunday are about mercy, trust and forgiveness of sins. The opening prayer addresses the Father as God of everlasting mercy. In the psalm, we repeat several times, "His mercy endures forever." Psalm 118. Besides mentioning the word, our readings illustrate mercy in action. How does God reveal His mercy? He does so first and foremost by sending His only begotten Son to become our Savior and Lord by suffering, death and resurrection. Divine mercy is given to us in the celebration of the sacraments. The first reading explains how the risen Lord continued to show His divine mercy to the sick through the healing and preaching ministry of His apostles in the early church. The faith of the apostles enabled them to minister to the people, giving them the Lord's healing love through signs and wonders. The book of Revelation was written to comfort and bolster the faith of the persecuted Christians by reassuring them of the presence of the merciful Lord in their lives. The second reading encourages Christians to fight fear with faith and trepidation about the future with trust and hope. In today's Gospel, as we recall Jesus' appearance to the disciples on the first Easter evening, we are vividly reminded of the sacrament of reconciliation, the power to forgive sins which our Lord gave to the apostles. Today's Gospel also emphasizes the importance of faith in all-pervading presence of the risen Lord of mercy. To believe without having seen is every later Christian's experience. We are invited to receive liberation from doubts and hesitation by surrendering our lives to the risen Lord of mercy. Let us ask God our Father to open our hearts so that we may receive His mercy in the form of His Holy Spirit. The first part of today's Gospel, that is verses 19 to 23, describe how Jesus entrusted to His apostles His mission of preaching the good news of God's love, mercy, forgiveness and salvation. This portion of the reading teaches us that Jesus uses the church as the earthly means of continuing His mission. He also teaches us that the church needs Jesus as its source of power and authority, and that it becomes Christ's true messenger only when it perfectly loves and obeys Him. The risen Lord gives the apostles the authority to remit sins in His name. He gives the apostles the power of God's mercy for the sinner, the gift of forgiving sins from God's treasury of mercy. For centuries in the liturgy, the church has proclaimed the mercy of God through the word of God and the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. The text also reminds us that the clearest way of expressing our belief in the presence of the risen Jesus among us is through our own forgiveness of others. We can't form a lasting Christian community without such forgiveness. Unless we forgive others, our celebration of the Eucharist is just an exercise of liturgical rubrics. The second part of the Gospel, that is verses 24 to 29, presents the fearless apostle St. Thomas in his uncompromising honesty, demanding a personal vision of and physical contact with the risen Jesus as a condition for his belief. Thomas had not been with the disciples when Jesus first appeared to them. As a result, he refused to believe. This should serve as a warning to us. It is difficult for us to believe when we do not strengthen ourselves with the fellowship of other believers. When the Lord appeared to Thomas later, He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen but have believed." Thomas was able to overcome his doubts by seeing the risen Jesus. Modern Christians who are no longer able to see Jesus with their eyes must believe what they hear. That is why Paul reminds us that faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:17. Thomas the doubting apostle made the great profession of faith, "My Lord and my God." Here the most outrageous doubter of the resurrection of Jesus utters the greatest confession of belief in the Lord who rose from the dead. This declaration by the doubting apostle in today's gospel is very significant for two reasons. First of all, it is the foundation of our Christian faith. Our faith is based on the divinity of Jesus as proved by his miracles, especially by the supreme miracle of the resurrection from the dead. Thomas's profession of faith is the strongest evidence we have of the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas's faith culminated in his self-surrender to Jesus, his heroic missionary expedition to India in 52 AD, his fearless preaching and his powerful testimony given by his martyrdom in 72 AD.
For all who come to know his love, let them find it here with us. Grace now shown, welcomed home, Father's mercy known, his mercy known. On sorry hearts we close the door, don't give the help they need. But Jesus looks and says, "You're loved, from your sins you are free." So let this be the time, we are his living signs, and let his mercy shine. For all who come to know his love, let them find it here with us.
What messages for life do we get from today's liturgy? First of all, let us accept God's invitation to celebrate and practice mercy. One way the Church celebrates God's mercy throughout the year is through the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Finding time for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, especially in the Jubilee Year of Mercy, is another good way to receive divine mercy. The Gospel command, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful," demands that we should show mercy to our fellow human beings always and everywhere. We radiate God's mercy to others by our actions, our words, and our prayers. It is mainly through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy that we practice mercy in our daily lives and become eligible for God's merciful judgment. Secondly, let us ask God for the faith that culminates in self-surrender to God and leads us to serve those we encounter with love. Living faith enables us to see the risen Lord in everyone and gives us the willingness to render to each one our loving service. "Faith without good works is dead," says James 2:17. Thirdly, we need to meet the challenge for a transparent Christian life. "I will not believe unless I see." This seeing is what others demand of us. They ask that we reflect Jesus, the risen Lord, in our lives by our selfless love, unconditional forgiveness, and humble service. The integrity of our lives bears a fundamental witness to others who want to see the risen Lord alive and active, working in our lives. Christ's mercy shines forth from us whenever we reach out to the poor, the needy, and the marginalized, as the saint-to-be Mother Teresa did. We should be able to appreciate the presence of Jesus, crucified and raised, in our own suffering and in our suffering brothers and sisters, thus recognizing the glorified wounds of the risen Lord in the suffering of others. Finally, like St. Thomas, let us use our skepticism to help us grow in faith. It is our genuine doubts about the doctrines of our religion that encourage us to study these doctrines more closely and thus to grow in our faith. This will naturally lead us to a personal encounter with Jesus through our prayer, study of the Word of God, and frequenting the sacraments. However, we must not forget the fact that our faith is not our own doing, but it is a gift from God. Hence, we need to augment our faith every day by prayer so that we may join St. Thomas in his proclamation, "My Lord and my God."
So if we want to be like him and show the Father's love, Be merciful with open arms, just like He is to us. So let this be the time, we are His living signs, and let His mercy shine. For all who come to know His love, let them find it here with us.
Emperor Napoleon was moved by a mother's plea for pardon for a soldier's son. However, the emperor said that since it was the man's second major offense, justice demanded death. I do not ask for justice, implored the mother. I plead for mercy. But, said the emperor, he does not deserve mercy. Sir, cried the mother, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for. The compassion and clarity of the mother's logic prompted Napoleon to respond, well then, I will have mercy. May this jubilee year of mercy especially be a time for us to reflect on God's infinite love and mercy for His people, as detailed in the Bible and as lived and taught by Jesus, and to practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy.